I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYOYAB. I'm telling you, I'm tired today. That may be the first of many flubs I have in my show today. It's a little trouble sleeping these days. But we'll soldier through it, and I will. Maybe I need to work this into my segment. Next hour is my Wednesday segment, Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. So I try to implore people to take control of their own health for a change for most of you. I need to include some more sleep things in there. It's incredibly important. I've been through bouts of serious insomnia in the past, and it will destroy most parts of your life, I found. I went through a period of about 6 months where I slept 3 hours a night, and that was almost a disjointed 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours. It was a routine on a daily basis, and it screwed up everything, screwed up relationships with my children. You can imagine the patience you have with a couple of toddlers when you have 2 to 3 hours of sleep every night for weeks on end. Yeah, my poor children. Marriage, work, everything, pretty much. So sleep is an important thing that I'll need to get a hold of myself these days. But anyway, today in Hump Day Health, I've got just... there are some pretty shocking statistics. COVID statistics, I guess, technically. But they're not actually about the virus, but about what has happened to the population in America, particularly when it comes to weight gain. I mean, I was stunned. I know that last year, I am somebody that is not immune to comfort foods. You know, when I know March Madness is coming, look, I like to have some chips. I like to nosh a little bit and watch some good basketball games. When I was locked down, when those kinds of things were going on, I was not immune. I've said often, I got a basically an addiction to pretzels with peanut butter that I had to break. I had to just snap it off because I realized that wasn't, and that's not the worst thing you could eat, but it certainly wasn't good for me. But Americans gained a lot of weight last year, so we'll take a look at those statistics. Also, a clip from a doctor, a pro-vaccine doctor, who thinks that the mRNA vaccines may just be the greatest thing we've ever invented. I don't know if I would agree with him on that. I think the jury's still out, but he went on Tucker Carlson's show to just talk about the dangers of this one-size-fits-all mass vaccination. And this is what I've talked about. Is I am just stunned by seeing doctors, other medical authorities, politicians, bureaucrats, chain pharmacies, celebrities just come out and just one size fits all say, go get your shot. No equivocation whatsoever. If you have an autoimmune disease, might want to discuss it with your doctor first. They don't say that. If you're pregnant, considering becoming pregnant or breastfeeding a child right now, maybe you need to have a conversation with your doctor. They don't say that either. They just come out and say, go get that shot. The first one that's available, the first minute you can get it, doesn't matter the brand, doesn't matter which one, just get your shots. That kind of blanket medical treatment with an experimental vaccine, I will add again, an experimental gene therapy, has been absolutely stunning to me, and I hope it works out well. I know people that I love who are getting the vaccine, so I certainly hope there are no issues with it. I hope it works out great. I hope it protects them, and I hope they don't suffer any ill health consequences from it. But can you even imagine all of the people that will really be culpable for getting on television, in newspapers, in print, in emails, it doesn't matter where it is, in published articles, telling everybody, regardless of your health status, to rush out and get this experimental vaccine. Can you even imagine? If there's a problem with this thing down the road. Anyway, a long diatribe to say, I've got next hour a doctor who is pro-vaccine who says this mass vaccination, without question, one size fits all, has the potential to become a true disaster. And I think it's worth listening to. The Environmental Working Group has also got their new Dirty Dozen food list out. This is a great tool. We'll talk about that. And also a couple of studies about medications. We are wildly over-medicated here in the United States, so I've got some things about medications and some of the consequences from these things. So we'll talk about that as well next hour. And quotes of the day today, governments need armies to protect them from their enslaved and oppressed subjects. That's from Leo Tolstoy. Governments need armies to protect them from their enslaved and oppressed subjects, and we've never really kind of felt that as much as we have over the past few months, as Joe Biden has surrounded his little kingdom in Washington, D.C. with razor wire and fences and armed National Guard in the nation's capital for some imaginary threat they've just kind of made up. They just made it up. But this is what, you know, when you have a government that will constantly point to non-existent ghost boogeymen around the world to justify invading other countries and prosecuting endless wars that enrich the warmongers and the defense contractors, then it's only logical that they would invent phantom ghost people here in the United States that are a threat to the nation's capital. The problem is that we went along for so long with these people as they made up enemies. The war on terror, that was their genius one. It's actually not an army. Not an army that can surrender, so you get to fight the war on terror for decades, centuries. As long as the American people are willing to continue to applaud for huge military budgets, then you can fight the war on terror forever. Well, now they're turning the war on terror on you, and Tolstoy was right. That's why governments really need armies, is to protect themselves against us. And then the comedian Norm Macdonald gets a quote of the day today. He said, I find it very hard to vote for someone who's going to have power over me. Amen, Norm Macdonald. That is absolutely at the heart of really my entire philosophy, is people line up and cheer for and send checks to somebody that exercises power over you. They don't know you. They don't care about you. But we join these teams begging for our leaders to come in and make the rules over us. Pretty shocking stuff. I'm going to get into, there were some spending details about the new pandemic relief. I guess I should air quote that here in the studio. Well, I did a little bit of math just to give you some context, because it's about tax time. Now that I believe the IRS has given us one more month. Yeah, they give you one more month to file your taxes this year. It puts off my show from April 15th to May 15th, I guess, when I rail against the income tax for 2 hours. They've given us another month, but this is always a good thing just to keep in mind, because I think it's very important that people put in perspective that money that during the course of your lifetime you scrimp and save to try to tuck away a little money and pay for your kids' college and buy your cars and buy your houses. And one of the reasons you can't do that with cash is because the government is constantly picking your pocket. I think it's always important to point out where that money that you are sacrificing actually goes. And the pandemic relief money is where a lot of it's going. And it's pretty amazing stuff. We'll get to that math when we come back. Stay with me.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling on citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
In the least surprising news of the year, we're seeing this push for gun control going through D.C. right now. The disgusting, despicable Barack Obama sent out a tweet, of course, blaming this latest shooting. He says, "It will take time to root out the disaffection, racism, and misogyny that fuels so many of these senseless acts of violence, but we can make it harder for those with hate in their hearts to buy weapons of war." This is going to be the big push to ban so-called assault rifles, anything that's scary looking, essentially is what this is going to be. I'm going to get into this more tomorrow with Stephen Utroska from Americans for Prosperity. He's, number one, he's a gun guy, but number two, he's at the state legislature, and I've been asking him, I think I've asked him every single week he's been here. This is before the massage parlor shootings, which were not racially motivated. It's a nut job with a sex addiction. Or these latest ones that were not racially motivated. It was a nut job who snapped. But I've asked Stephen, just with the fact that we have an entirely Democratic government. It is the dream for the gun control advocates, and so I've been wondering if the Mississippi State Legislature was doing anything to get into protecting our Second Amendment here in Mississippi. It seems that other states are taking actions in those ways. So far, I haven't seen anything. So if you want to, contact your legislator, your senator, and let them know you want to see. There's not much time left in this year's session, so I don't know if it's I'm still learning the legislative process in Mississippi. That's why I love having Stephen or somebody from Americans for Prosperity on every Thursday to explain it to me. I focus so much on the national stuff, but you know, this may be special session stuff if they need to, because they are certainly going to put the push on. You know, Joe Manchin in the Senate, the Democrat from West Virginia, I'm not sure the dynamics of West Virginia that makes him be a Democrat, but if the Republicans are not courting Joe Manchin right now, giving him up whatever chairmanship he wants to come over to the Republican Party right now, I don't know when they ever would. But he may be the guy that breaks the Democrat stronghold on this thing, yet they still need, I believe, 60 votes to get any of these things through. It still is quite a danger, and we're going to have to put up with listening to it for quite a period of time. They're coming after the AR-15s. I mean, they're coming after them. So we'll talk to Stephen about that tomorrow. It is kind of amazing, isn't it, that these shootings seem to happen under Democrats. These really got kicked on under Bill Clinton. It's as if that party, when they gain some power, literally drive us insane, using that term appropriately. Of course, Bill Clinton also came into office when we first started mass drugging our kids on antidepressants. Anti-anxieties. The 90s was when the real pharmacological model rolled out on our children. I don't know if you know this, but in decades and centuries past, the children were relatively healthy people. They didn't need a whole lot of medication, strong, robust immune system. In the 1990s, we decided, no, every little mood that our children have is now a medical issue that needs to be treated with a pill, and doctors, I guess, just jumped right on board and started writing prescriptions for antidepressants. I've done stories on this where they are giving, last statistics I saw, they believe there's like 500,000 children under the age of 2 that are on antidepressants. Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's no problem there. I'm sure that'll turn out well. give a child whose brain is just in the beginning of forming, give them something that changes their brain chemistry. What could possibly go wrong? Do you understand why I do an hour each week challenging the medical establishment here in the United States? But the 1990s is when we started drugging our kids. Coincidentally, it's the time we started seeing mass school shootings here in the United States, too. So is correlation causation? I would submit to you maybe it is. I keep looking for these shooters to see if they were undergoing any psychiatric care. There's a lot saying that the guy who shot up the King Supers out in Boulder had mental health issues, was schizophrenic or paranoid. I don't know that, haven't seen any evidence that he sought any treatment, but I'm always looking. These stories, they never come out and say he was on Effexor, he was taking Ambien, whatever it is, any of these mind-altering drugs. It usually takes 2 or 3 months, really, to flesh out the story if it sticks around for a while. It took a while to figure out that the Columbine shooter was on Zoloft, that Luke Woodham here, who shot up Pearl High School, was on, I believe it was Zoloft. He was on one of these drugs. But natural health people will point it out first as soon as it's released, so I'll certainly be watching that, because these would be rare incidences of mass shootings that they were not on these drugs. They're about 95% of the time it's confirmed. And I got to tell you, it seems like that's something we should pause and reflect on. When you've got pharmaceutical products that in the warning packet, in the insert in these drugs, and some of these have black box warnings that say, hey, just to let you know, this may increase your enthusiasm for suicide or harming other people. We just want to let you know this may reduce your inhibitions and may make you a mass killer. This is actually on the inserts, I'm paraphrasing. But it's on the inserts of these things, yet we just refuse to even talk about it. Now, we know why the media doesn't talk about it, because they are sponsored in almost entirely by the pharmaceutical industry. So it's up to us normal people out here to start paying attention to that and noticing that these shooters are usually on these psychotropic drugs. Anyway, we'll talk about gun control tomorrow with Stephen Utroska. I did a little bit of math. I saw a story yesterday talking about the spending on this this new pandemic relief. This is just from the Biden administration. The pandemic relief is going to amount to $43,000 a second. The average American taxpayer pays $9,000 a year in individual income taxes. So about five of you will send your $9,000 to Washington, D.C. It's gone now. And then five more of you will send your money to the IRS under threat of being put into a cage, and your money will be gone now. Another five of you, now. You're getting where I'm going during the course of this show. Just during the course of this show, on this, air quotes here in the studio, pandemic relief, during the course of my two little hours here on WYAB, $309,600,000 during the course of this show will be spent on, air quotes here in the studio, pandemic relief. Over the course of today, $3.7 billion going into this one bill, this one pandemic relief bill. And that is before Biden is expected to roll out his $3 trillion infrastructure bill. I actually had some notes on that. Let me pull that up, because it was pretty amazing to look, this infrastructure bill. They're going to roll it out on us, you know. I think they understand that the appetite for something that has got a price tag of $3 trillion on it is kind of difficult for people to swallow, even the biggest government lovers. So they may try to break this apart into pieces, and this may get on, may get the Republicans on board as well. They just get the little pieces. But it's not only infrastructure, it's for all kinds of other social engineering projects. Officials have discussed offsetting some or all of the infrastructure spending by raising taxes on corporations, including increasing the corporate income tax rate above the current 21% rate, and a variety of measures to force multinational corporations to pay more tax in the United States on income they earned. That strategy is unlikely to garner Republican votes. Now, I want to remind everybody, and this is why I really wish I was on a Democrat or a liberal radio show. I've spent the last 4 years during a Republican administration trying to explain to people these policies, whether they're coming from Trump or Mitch McConnell, are not, they're not good for you. And to all the Democrats out there, what I would tell them is you do understand that you are the ones who pay corporate income taxes, right? Corporations put that into the price of every product, every good that they put out there. So raising taxes on corporations will just raise the amount of money you pay for anything. The first plan in this Biden administration infrastructure thing is roads and bridges and, of course, charging stations. I mean, you can't swing a dead cat without seeing an electric car, right? So we need to take money from you. Again, remember this, come May 15th of this year, they're going to need to take money out of your pocket. It doesn't matter how much of a fan you are of the combustion engine. They need to take money out of your pocket to put up charging stations for this panacea of electric automobiles that they just are sure will be here any day. The second plan under discussion is focused on what many progressives call the nation's human infrastructure. Oh, that's kind of a, I don't know, that's kind of a little bit of a creepy term to me. Kind of what they think of us. We're just kind of the gears, the cogs in the gears. Students, workers, and people left on the sidelines of the job market, according to documents and people familiar with the discussions. It would spend heavily on education and on programs meant to increase the participation of women in the labor force by helping them balance work and caregiving. Heaven forbid a woman is still responsible for balancing her own life. The government's going to come in. Uncle Biden's going to come. Daddy Biden's going to come in and make sure that you can balance these things because you're not capable by yourself, apparently. It includes free community college, universal pre-K education, and national paid leave program and efforts to reduce child care costs. Of course, these are, you know, almost all of these things, as disgusting as they are to me, these are building on programs that we've been paying for decades already. They're just really ramping them up a little bit. That plan would also extend or make permanent two temporary provisions of Mr. Biden's recent relief bill, expanded subsidies for low and income Americans to buy health insurance and tax credits aimed at cutting poverty, particularly for children. Officials have weighed financing that plan through initiatives that would reduce federal spending by as much as $700 billion over a decade, like allowing Medicare to negotiate prescription drug costs with pharmaceutical companies. Now, that actually would be a good thing. But it's always amazing that, you know, when the government decides they want to, they don't care about saving that money. How long has Medicare Part D been in place now? This was a Bush. This Medicare Part D, when the Republicans passed Medicare Part D, the biggest entitlement since Johnson. This is when I left the Republican Party officially. I couldn't believe they passed this huge entitlement. And then I started seeing the corruption in it. I saw the Republicans that parachuted out of government into positions with the pharmaceutical lobby and with individual pharmaceutical companies after they spearheaded this Medicare Part D. Those of you who hung on to the Republican Party until Donald Trump told you that the establishment Republican was bad, you wasted about 10, 15 years of your life. You missed the corruption in it. They actually made it a law where you couldn't negotiate. I will be surprised if they even pulled this off. Because ultimately, the pharmaceutical lobby, six lobbyists for every single Congress critter in Washington, D.C., Democrats are beholden to these pharmaceutical companies just like Republicans are, so I'd be surprised to see if that happened. But again, they're thinking they can save $700 billion. Over the next 10 years. So that's $700 billion we could have saved over the previous 10 years. And it's probably about 15. So we're looking a little bit over $1 trillion they could have saved on prescription drug prices over the past 15 years since the Republicans put Medicare Part D in. They didn't get around to it. Now they're going to try to save the money so that they can actually spend multiples of it in other places. Officials have discussed further offsetting the spending increases by raising taxes on high-earning individuals and households, like raising the top marginal income tax rate to 39.6% from 37%. And again, can anybody explain to me why we're even tinkering with these tax rates, whether it's on the high income earners, on middle class people, on upper middle class? To raise taxes, Biden said, if you make $400,000 or more, you're getting a tax increase. Pay your fair share. And that is just absolutely just punitive. It's just pure penalizing success because they don't use the money. It's not like they take the money in and they say, well, we need to collect X number of dollars to run the federal government. And so we're going to figure out how to get that money. And once we get it, we'll run the government and that'll be that. They don't do that. They just print whatever they're short. And these infrastructure spending with this pandemic relief, all the rest of the nonsense that comes out of Washington, D.C., it just blows past any budgeted projections or any budgets that are passed. It just blows past it. They just print the money. So if you are that successful dentist out there, if you're that guy who started a plumbing company 20 years ago with one truck with a handmade sign on the side, and now you're running 30 trucks wrapped from 20 years of work building your business, and now you're finally making money, the Biden administration, and really this is taxation in general, they just want to punish you. Because you understand, the money doesn't matter. If they charge you an extra $20,000 a year in taxes, let's just say, you think they really need that money? If they didn't get that $20,000 from you, they'd just print it up. It's not like the government's going to go without something. It's not like they're going to go, golly, John Brown didn't send us his $20,000. We're going to have to cut some programs. No, they just print it up. They take money from the American people because they can. That's the only reason. It's not to run the government. It's not to make services that benefit you and me. They take taxes from the American people because it is a way to control you. Because they can. Because you are scared to not pay. Because they've got an army of soulless minions that will go out and enforce taxation. And so they can take money from you. That's the only reason. How anybody can look at what we're doing right now with printing up about $5 trillion last year, plus what the Fed added on another $2, $3 trillion last year, maybe a little bit more. I think a total is somewhere around $8 or $9 trillion that was just conjured up out of thin air last year. Some of it's on the Fed balance sheet. Some of it went on to our debt, the public debt through the Treasury. They just conjured that up out of nowhere. Why in the world do they need to take a nickel from anybody? And I will just give you the secret, just the big secret for all of you people still clinging to this idea that you're somehow contributing to the workings of your fine country, that it is the price you pay for a civilized society. I hate to break it to you. They take that money from you because they can. And they know that the more that they strip out of your wealth, the more you may need from them in the future. You may really need that Social Security because they're going to strip you of your wealth through every working year that you have during your life. All of that money you paid in taxes that, again, right now, they just spent $43,000 on pandemic relief. And now, today they'll spend $309 billion just on pandemic relief. Your money means nothing to them. It means something to you. It means something to your children. It means something to your future generations. It means nothing to them. And they still take it. Do you know the psychopathy that goes into a system where you enforce this stripping of Americans' wealth for no reason? And the argument, the curtain's drawn back now with what we've just seen with the money printing. And this has been going on for decades. So it's not new, but now it's just too big to ignore. If they want money in Washington, D.C., they just print it. So why do they take yours? Why is your check this Friday 15% lower than it should be based on what you and an employer negotiated? Why do they take that money from you? It is not because of any calculations on what it takes to run this government. It is not the price you're paying for a civilized society, because I don't know if you've looked around recently. Not so civilized, is it? It is not to fund the troops. It is not for roads and bridges. You pay gas taxes every time you put a gallon of gas in your car to pay those kinds of things. You pay that money because you will. And they know that. And most people try to justify it because I think we're a little too proud to admit we're just chicken. We're sheep. we don't have the courage to stand up and say, in the United States, it should not be a crime to keep the money that I earn. It's really that simple in my mind. But people have been so conditioned into this system. Again, they will spend $43,000, which is about five of you out there listening right now. Everything you send to the federal government, they'll spend that right now. And that's not even including, the rest of the functions of government that they're stripping your wealth for. I mean, you are sending money into a black hole. You might as well take your money and go buy WorldCom stock. It has the exact same effect on the world and on your what's good for you. Go buy worthless old WorldCom stock. Of course, it doesn't trade anymore, but it's pathetic at this point that we put up with this. Anyway, when I come back, I wanted to get a couple of things. One, I tell you what, I'm going to talk a little bit about oil. I was looking at oil. I'm kind of in a little bit of a unpopular position on this. A lot of people are talking about Joe Biden takes office and the price for oil goes up. I'm going to talk a little bit about that because the price of oil is coming down now. Are we supposed to give Biden credit for that? I don't know. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Look, I get fired up about taxation because here's the one way that I look at it. I don't let my children spend wildly. Do you just give your children money and you have there's no accountability whatsoever to the way they spend it? They just tell you, hey, I need to take 10% of your income, Mom and Dad. And you don't question it. You just give it to them. And then the next year they go, hey, I need to get 12% of your income. That's somebody that you love. All of us would give up our lives for our children. There's no more intense love. Some of you have got maybe a spouse you feel that way about as well. Even if you love your spouse with all your heart, you wouldn't let her just, or him. That was sexist, wasn't it? Caught myself. Whoo! You wouldn't let them just spend wildly with no accountability. Yet we let politicians and bureaucrats just come in and tell us every year how much of our income they get to take with no accountability whatsoever. And they won't even stay within the confines of that. They're saddling this debt onto our children and our grandchildren. And to be honest with you, I'm sick of watching the American people sit back and take it. If you wouldn't allow your children, who you love with all your heart, to steal money from you in this manner, why would you let a very unpopular political class do it? This I do not understand. I've staked out kind of an unpopular opinion on oil. When oil started spiking after Biden came in, I saw memes floating everywhere and got emails from people about, look what, Biden's only been in office for two days or 2 months, and look at the price of oil. And look, I got into a good conversation with a listener who knows the oil futures markets, and he was right. When he canceled the Keystone Pipeline, when he stopped drilling on some federal lands, the futures markets went up. I mean, that's kind of a natural thing. But I am here to break apart this automatic knee-jerk reaction that you think that just if your team gets in control, then oil prices would be great. Oil has come down. It peaked at about $67 a barrel. This is West Texas Intermediary. It's WTI. It peaked at about $67 a barrel. Now it's down to about $57 a barrel. And it might pop right back up. Or it may keep falling because Europe is considering closing back down again. You understand keep an eye on this. There are a lot of lockdowns going on around the world. I fear it's coming our way. But this is bigger than political parties, and I hate seeing the partisanship show itself in places where a greater understanding is needed. Our good friends, the Saudi Arabians, have more to do with the price of oil when they decide to cut production to raise prices so that they make more money. Of course, remember, this was Trump's big buddies, the Saudis, and Jared Kushner's BFF, Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. Jared and he were tight, tight, tight. And they artificially inflate the cost of oil all the time. We don't seem to say anything about that, not to mention the fact that they were... they funded the 9/11 attacks. We don't want to talk about that either, apparently. But it's also inflation that's coming. And the inflation's going to come during Biden's term. It's already coming, but it was already going to come. Biden is a disaster. He's a train wreck. I'm not carrying any water for this senile old dictator, as they talk about now in the news break. They're considering executive action on guns. We'll talk about it tomorrow with Stephen Utroska, but... I looked, because I pulled up a chart. I wanted to see where oil was. I'm interested in all the financial markets, and I wanted to see where oil was. I use gasoline. I'm interested in the price of oil. So I looked, and I saw that it was gone down. But it was a longer chart, so I just took a peek. When Donald Trump took office, oil was about $52.75. $52.75. 2 years later, about 19 months after Trump took office, it was $74 a barrel. I didn't get any memes saying, look what happened. Trump came into office, and the price of oil went up. I mean, that's a pretty substantial increase. That's almost a 50% increase from $52 to $74 a barrel during Trump's first year and a half in office. Nobody said anything about that. And so I just say, it's just a way. Just we've got to stop with this knee-jerk partisanship. There's a million things about Joe Biden that are terrible. The inflation that is coming has been baked in the cake by both parties for quite a period of time. So don't get distracted. Don't believe that your side is going to fix that, because none of them are interested in stopping inflation. They actually need it in order to continue running up the debt they're running up. They've got to pay back their old debts that they ran up using us as collateral. They've got to pay that back with devalued money. It's the only way they'll get out of this thing alive. It's going to cream all of us. It's just going to destroy us out here, us regular people. But for the political class, they need inflation, and they need it bad, and that's why they're printing up all this money. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag, and now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we've only got a few minutes left in this hour before we get to Hump Day Health next hour. So I guess this is be a good transition, kind of a segue into health stuff. Is anybody paying attention to this freak Bill Gates recently? They're talking about they're doing an experiment. Here's what Bill Gates' plan for us is. They're doing a pilot program. I think this is over a town in Sweden, Kiruna, where they are going to float up a balloon and shoot out a bunch of chalk into the atmosphere. This is designed to reflect the sun's rays to cool the planet. Bill Gates knows more. He's one of the big funders of this thing. And his idea is to do this worldwide. They're going to do the study, and then he thinks Bill Gates is smarter than God in his own mind. He's smarter than the sun, smarter than the planet. Let's hope he doesn't get it wrong and we're actually heading into a mini ice age, because that has been proposed by some scientists as well. The science on climate is not settled, but Bill Gates doesn't need to wait for that. He's going to shoot chalk into our atmosphere to dim the sun. the arrogance of this guy. Again, he has as much of a degree in climate science as he does in immunology, which is zero. This is a nerd, with all due respect to you tremendously successful nerds out there. I wish I was one of you. I'm technically challenged, but this is a nerd who, depending on the accounts that you read, essentially stole some IBM code or something, came up with Microsoft, made a gajillion dollars, and now he's lording over all of us. And it gets worse. I've got a clip from him here. It's bad enough. He wants to cover the earth in chalk dust. But I guess this probably works well into his vaccination program, because once he starves us of a little bit more vitamin D, which naturally comes from the sun, for free, I guess he'll have plenty of other diseases that he can help us with when those crank up. And if that's not bad enough, check this out. This is another one of his plans. So less sun for all us humans because, you know, global warming, and this.
But I read in one of the interviews you gave in the last week or two, it was just published, you said rich nations should move to 100% synthetic beef.
Yeah, unless we can make the cow zero emission, which, you know, I'm not sure we can. We do need to make to get rid of those emissions. And, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. The scale up and the innovation still required there is quite large. But yes. Zero is a very demanding number, and it doesn't allow you to say, well, all but, you know, the 6% that comes from cows.
You know, I remember there was a time when Bill Gates got pied. I don't know, he was at World Economic Forum or one of these big hoity-toity globalist confabs, and someone came up and pied him in the face. Do you know, at the time, I believe the first time that happened, I think it was the pieing. I remember something happened to Bill Gates, and I thought to myself, why did they do that? Why is everybody so mad at Bill Gates? I used to be so naive. I really did. What a control freak. Now, he didn't say he wants to offer a product of synthetic beef, lab-created meat. He didn't say he wants to put out a product there. He thinks it might. No, he says wealthy nations need to transition to 100% synthetic meat. We got to get rid of the cows. No more cows. Now, I've looked at stuff before around all this climate hysteria, read a lot by people that are wildly more smart than I am about this stuff. They talk about plankton. How much CO2 plankton put out? We got to outlaw plankton too there, Bill? How many cows would it take to equal one dinosaur fart? I think that's a scientific question that needs to be answered, because at one point we didn't have any combustion engines, no SUVs, but we had a bunch of flatulent dinosaurs, I would imagine. And I think the math needs to be done on that, so we know if maybe the Earth can handle it, because it seemed to have come through that period of time intact. Bill Gates says 100% synthetic meat for us going forward. And there are people who hold this man out to be some kind of a hero. Vaccinations, chalk in the atmosphere, and synthetic beef. This is Bill Gates' plan for our world. I would really like to know what is wrong with that human being.
All night with the king.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We'll be right back.
right, welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, I give you an empowering segment here called Hump Day Health, Natural Health You Can Use Should You Choose. A lot of people are not choosing. Looking at some of the stories that I've got for today, I start every show by explaining to you, though, I am not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not a microbiologist. I'm not an immunologist. I'm not a vaccinologist, not a surgeon, not a therapist. I'm nothing. I have no certification to advise you on your own health. I give you topics, facts that should shock some of us awake and then get you to do your own research to take control of your own health. It is up to you to do it. I don't know a more important time to do that. And yet it seems that we are going backwards in this. We just might not be a very smart species at this point. I'm just really not sure, and I'll explain that to you in just a second. Before I get to that, though, I saw a story yesterday watching the local news. One of those things, I kind of heard it out of the in the background. I don't watch the news real intently, if you haven't noticed. I talk about this all the time. It's on. I kind of want to see what they're talking about. I mean, I do a radio show. I guess I should know what the media is talking about. I was listening to one of the local stations. They were doing their kind of health minute, and they were talking about the fact that more Americans die in places that don't have primary care physicians. And I heard a statistic, and I thought, that can't be right. So I got to my computer and looked it up, and it sure was. Listen to this. They're talking about the fact that places that don't have enough primary care physicians have higher mortality rates. In total, increasing the number of physicians to one per 1,500 in the regions experiencing shortages would prevent 7,272 deaths per year in those regions. This is according to a study they did. So the idea is we are short on primary care doctors. If we just had some more primary care doctors, people would live longer. Do you know how many they need to hire? This is to address the shortages in the regions that don't have enough. To achieve such gains in death prevention and life expectancy, the U.S. physician workforce would need to add 95,754 new physicians to its ranks and allocate them strategically in shortage areas. We need to have another 95,000 doctors in order to save 7,000 lives. I did a little bit of conservative math on it, as I am wont to do. At a conservative $175,000 a year, those 95,000 doctors would cost us $6,625,000,000 annually. That equals to about $2.3 million per life saved. Now, I don't think I'm being callous and putting money above lives. I'm just saying, we could spend $2.3 million to save a life. And I mean, unless I've missed something, it's not to make them immortal. I assume it's just to treat some diseases that kill people a little bit earlier than they should because they don't get access to a doctor like they need to. But maybe instead of spending that $16,625 million annually or $2.3 million per life saved, maybe we could just stop eating all the crap food. Maybe we could stop ingesting all of the chemicals that we do. I mean, that's just me. I've got this crazy little outpost show out here, no medical professional, no certification. But it just kind of seems to me that rather than hiring 95,000 more doctors, maybe people could just start taking control of their own health and eating a little bit better. Of course, we do the exact opposite, as witnessed by a new promotion that went on. Don't know if you saw this. Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme has come out with a little promo for everybody. The donut maker has announced that starting Monday, anybody who presents proof of a vaccination at any Krispy Kreme location can receive one free glazed donut per visit. This was their statement, quote, Krispy Kreme is finding ways to be sweet as the U.S. continues to scale COVID-19 vaccinations. To show our support for those who choose to get vaccinated, starting Monday, March 22nd, anyone who shows their COVID-19 vaccination record card will receive a free original glazed donut. The company explained that the offer is valid for every individual with a valid vaccination record card. Individuals are limited to one donut, but the offer can be redeemed once per day. meaning anybody who receives the COVID vaccine can swing by for a free glazed donut every day between now and the end of the year. Company promised that the staff wouldn't try to record or document any customers' vaccination information. This is very reminiscent to me. I've talked about this before. When we pink wash everything for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and you've got a bunch of companies, soda manufacturers, all this unhealthy food that leads to poor health, which can lead to cancer. They just paint their stuff. They leave all the chemicals in the food, but they paint the bottle pink. They paint the carton pink. Their food products are actually harming people, and some of them are leading to cancers. But as long as they make the box pink, that they've done their job. This is Krispy Kreme. And look, I love a warm Krispy Kreme donut is almost a delicacy, isn't it? But is this what we need when we're facing a disease that kills people who are largely obese? Do we need a program to give them a free donut a day for the rest of the year? The story said all of which could not be more ironic, as the mitigation policies chosen by, quote, the smartest people in the room, unquote. For example, locking us all in our homes to evade a virus that leaves 99.7% of us unharmed has actually increased the likelihood of Americans dying if they are infected by COVID, because obesity is among the most causal comorbidities for severe COVID cases. So what do? Give everybody the vaccine and then give them a donut, making sure that maybe the vaccine works and you won't be susceptible to COVID, but you'll be susceptible to the next thing that comes our way. Because Krispy Kreme is going to make sure that you got plenty of processed flours and tons of those immune-suppressing sugars. Absolutely unbelievable. And when it looks at, you know, I talked about the last couple of days, the statistics on how we came through our COVID restrictions, I was floored. I got to tell you, I was floored. 42% of Americans reported undesired weight gain during COVID-19. Almost half of people, weight gain. That's scary enough, but it gets worse. The average weight gain is, anyone? 29 pounds. And 41 pounds for millennials. For men, the average was 37 pounds. For women, it was 22 pounds. Gen Z adults, men and women, 28 pounds. Millennials, 41 pounds. Gen Xers, my generation, 21 pounds, and boomers, only 14 pounds. But I would imagine that as you get up and see all these young people have still got their metabolisms working for them. It's a little easier to stay fit and trim when you're young, but they've gone ahead and powered through that. And they've eaten their way through COVID restrictions. So just setting us up for the next pandemic or the next crisis of heart disease or other obesity-related diseases. Boy, these people who set all these health policies to keep us safe from COVID did a smash-up job, didn't they? Even by race, 42% of white adults gained an average of 30 pounds. Hispanic adults, 46% of Hispanics gained an average of 28 pounds. Black adults, 42%, just like the white population, but it's 35 pounds. Asians, 38% of Asians gained weight, but only 12 pounds. Parents led the charge. Look, I told you before, I understand emotional eating. If I had been locked in my home with my children, I would have sought the solace of food as well on too many occasions. But 57% of parents gained an average of 36 extra pounds over the past year. This is not good. For the vast majority of people, that's like 20% of your body weight you added on just in the last year. Absolutely amazing stuff. That is not the only consequence. Again, I call out the Tate Reeves, the Thomas Dobbs, the Anthony Faucis, the rest of these people who came up with these policies that have led to things like this weight gain. It's not only that. Alcohol, we've been drinking more than usual. At the end of the study, researchers have found that an increase in hazardous alcohol use from 21% among April's cohort to 40.7% in September apparent alcohol dependence. Are you listening, Thomas Dobbs? It's not all about that one tiny little virus that's floating around. All of life is not around that one virus. You've tried to make it that way for 12 months, but there are other things to consider. Alcohol dependence rose from 7.9% to 29.1%. Almost four times. 7.9% to 29.1% for alcohol dependence. This immediately made me think when I saw these stories lined up together. I'm going to show my age a little bit, but Animal House, have you seen Animal House? The monster hit of the 1970s, John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd. Well, no, that was Blues Brothers, wasn't it? Jim Belushi primarily. Animal House, Dean Wormer told one of the kids this, and I think it's advice that Americans should take.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Heed the words of Dean Wormer from Animal House. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life. And that's exactly where they have taken us over the last 12 months. Krispy Kreme trying to continue the process. This just brings up one other thing, because I understand kind of what people have gone through. My gym was closed for a while. I did spend more time at home. So there's a bit of a challenge to it. I really encourage people. I have found some little home workouts. Even recently, I've been busy and some other things going on in my life, and I haven't gotten to the gym like I normally do. You can find home workouts. I found a quick little 10-minute home workout. I'll send you the routine if you want to. I actually sent it to the station owner yesterday. I've sent it to many of my friends because it's such a challenge. It's just two things. It's a push-up challenge, and then it's a stomach workout, an abs workout. And it's about 10 minutes long, and it is challenging, and you will feel it for days. Actually, it's probably 7 minutes. And if you're just starting out, it may be a 3-minute workout because it's difficult and it's challenging. That point being made, that you could do this in your office. It's a couple of YouTube videos. One of them that's actually very interesting. If you've ever heard the song Bring Sally Up, Bring Sally Down, I think I'd heard it before, but I wasn't real familiar with it. But it's essentially doing a push-up when they say go up, and then it's coming down, but only halfway. You don't rest your chest on the ground. You come down halfway. But you can look this up online. It's the Bring Sally Up Push-Up Challenge. You can do a search for that. And great for upper body, very challenging. And that workout, along with the ab workout that I found that's only a few minutes long because it's so challenging, are things that you can build on so you can see how much better Bring Sally Up. I can do, generally, when I do push-up workouts, I can get anywhere from 120 to 140 anywhere from 3 to 4 sets. I could do 12 on this Bring Sally Up thing. So I've got, there's 30 within the full workout, so I'll work my way up to that. The whole point being, avoid the Krispy Kreme because you got your vax. Oh, I did want to say one thing about, they did say that if you do not get the vaccine, they do qualify in that Krispy Kreme does. They say, we understand this is a personal choice. Not everybody is going to want to get this vaccine. It's voluntary. If you don't get the vaccine, you can come in. I think there's one day where you can get one donut. So they're being very fair about this. For those of you who get the vaccination, one donut a day for the rest of the year. Yeah, that should help. I'll be right back.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right. What do I want to get into next here? This is kind of a long clip. I guess I'll push back my next commercial break and go ahead and get into this now. The idea of one-size-fits-all mass vaccinations has been pretty amazing to me, I have to say. There's always considerations depending on your health. It's why I start this show by saying I'm not a doctor. I talk about a lot of different things. As a matter of fact, I'm going to address one now. I've talked, when it talks about your personal fitness, working out, doing home workouts, I talk a lot about HIIT, which is high-intensity interval training. And it's something that I do when I do cardio. I don't do a whole lot of cardio, to be honest with you. I never really got into running that much. I probably like it more now. If I could find a good nature trail or something, I could probably get into some running. Running down the streets, kind of a yawn to me. Some people just love running. To each his own. I like the weight room. But I do HIIT workouts when I want to do some cardio. I usually do them maybe once, maybe twice a week. But I just saw an article that said too much of it is not good for you. And it is true, and I don't know if I've ever made that disclaimer on here. And you can find these HIIT workouts, and it's HIIT, two I's. It's high-intensity interval training. And it's just going all out for like a minute and then resting for a minute and then all out. It's basically kind of a sprinter's workout as opposed to a long, steady-state cardio. I like it. It's quick. There's some potential benefits to it, but it is something to not do every single day. That's supposedly a little taxing to your system to sprint every single day. So there is that qualification. But bottom line, when it comes to these vaccines, they have put out this call that everybody needs to get a shot. And this is from 16 years and older. Yet the studies, you know, when they do studies on these vaccines, they test them on healthy people. That's the first thing they do because the pharmaceutical companies want the best results. The last thing they want is a bunch of fragile people in their tests messing up their results. And so when you come out into the wider population and you start dealing with people with autoimmune diseases or diabetes or cancers or whatever else, they haven't studied these things. And not to mention the fact that usually in a trial, they may start with the healthy people, but then they start adding in other populations because they test these vaccines over 5 to 10 years before they roll them out on us. With this, they didn't even have time to do animal testing. They just got, I don't know, 50, 60,000 healthy people, tested these vaccines on them and went to town and then rolled it out and said, everybody go get a shot. And I've been stunned to watch that because they just don't know what this means for people long term. They can't. They don't have the time and the studies. Anyway, I'm not alone on that. Thank goodness. Now, this is a doctor. I'm going to struggle to pronounce his name. He was on the Tucker Carlson show, Hooman Norchasm. Or Norcosm. Who knows? I think maybe he'll say the name on this clip. Tucker Carlson daring to go where nobody else goes. I did happen to notice, though, on Fox News, I was watching Tucker's show, I think. He's got a lot of kind of B-tier advertisers. And I'm sure a lot of companies, the big corporations, particularly the woke corporations, have been pressured to not be on Tucker Carlson's show, if not Fox News altogether. But he's got a lot of MyPillows, I saw PC-Matic, that kind of stuff. So maybe Tucker Carlson has a little bit of wiggle room, although Fox News is busy selling you on this vaccine. Every doctor they bring on just about is for vaccinations, including this guy. He's not an anti-vaxxer, as he'll explain to you in just a minute. But Tucker can at least broach this subject where you will not hear this on NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, any of these networks who rely completely, almost completely, it's 60, 70% of their revenues, pharmaceutical companies. They can't do anything that says anything except rush out and get your shot. Get it as fast as you can. It doesn't matter what brand it is. Doesn't matter when. Doesn't matter how old you are. If you're 16 years or older, go get this shot. It's your patriotic duty. This is what Joe Biden tells you from behind the podium. Donald Trump said the same thing. Everybody go out and get this shot. I tell you what, this clip is a little bit long. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back and play this Tucker Carlson clip talking to this doctor because he has tremendous concerns about rolling this thing out to everybody without any equivocation. No. And it's another thing if we were all going to our doctors to get these vaccines where you could talk to your doctor, hey, before I get this shot, can I just mention to you, you know me, I've got a history of X, Y, or Z. No, now they're running out mass vaccination sites where they've got the National Guard plunging a needle to your arm in a stadium somewhere. Now, there may be some level of paper medical screening or something, but the push is to get 330 million people to get jabs in arms. They tell us this over and over. You're not doing this through your doctor for many people. They're talking about getting these things in mobile vans to go house to house, giving people shots if they're not mobile and getting it. This doctor has a very serious concern over this strategy, and this is something that I just cannot believe is not being discussed. We'll listen to what his concerns are, and if you're considering the vaccine, you might want to heed his words because you might already be protected and don't even need the dang thing. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, doing Hump Day Health as we do every Wednesday. Natural health news you can use. The vaccination stuff is one of the most important health issues facing us right now. Maybe the biggest breakthrough in medicine in the history of mankind. May pose some problems down the road. We don't know. It's experimental at this point. But the blanket, go out and get it. What's stunning to me, and even during the news break just then, they were talking about the AstraZeneca. That they say they've disproven the blood clot stuff, that Europe paused the rollouts on the vaccine. I never trust that. I just don't. It's been shown with all kinds of drugs that they just brush away any concerns and go, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. Anyway, they say the AstraZeneca's coming too, and they talk about the efficacy of it. I always have to kind of pause and reflect and go, now, we are talking about the same disease, right? This is a disease that's 99.7% survivable, right? I just want to be clear on this, because if you've got a vaccine that gives you 95% protection, and they're jumping up and down about that, right? This is just groundbreaking. Anthony Fauci's just tickled pink. And I think, but don't the numbers show that your immune system is 99.7% effective? If you're under 65, your immune system is 99.9% effective. Now, that's against death. There are a certain percentage of people with comorbidities that can get hospitalized or can get sick. I would say there's plenty of treatments out there for those people already, but I just don't understand. If this thing was killing 5% of the people, I would understand the hype. That'd be a lot of people in the United States. But it's not. Anyway, the mass vaccination. Tucker Carlson dared to bring a doctor on, a doctor, an MD, of which I am not. But this guy, and you'll hear him talk about it, he is not anti-vax. It's such a lazy term. It's like racist. Anytime you say something, disagree with somebody, or even question something, they just immediately label you with something. So this guy is not an anti-vaxxer. He's a doctor. You'll hear how excited he is about the vaccines. But he has concerns about this rollout of mass vaccination of every single person without any caveats.
Questions about vaccines are typically presented by the usual liars as a kind of binary, a debate between people who are for science and vaccines and crazy people, anti-vaxxers who live in the woods somewhere who hate science. But that's not really the debate in real life. Most people are grateful for vaccines. Have you heard anybody argue against the polio vaccine or the smallpox vaccine? Vaccines have done an incalculable amount to make our lives better and longer. So people are for vaccines in this country. But that doesn't mean people don't have questions about specific vaccines. They should. And there should be an open conversation about specific vaccines. Why wouldn't there be? And anyone who's trying to prevent that conversation should be suspect. Huma Norchasm is a physician, a longtime surgeon, who is a strong, in fact, an adamant supporter of vaccination, says it's the moral duty of Americans to get vaccinated. But he's raising a question. Should people who've already been and recently been infected with the virus get the vaccine? Could it hurt them? He joins us to explain. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on. I hope I've characterized your position fairly. You seem like you're very strongly in favor of vaccines, but you have this question. If you could explain it to us.
Absolutely. Tucker, thanks very much for having me on your program. I am a very staunch supporter of this vaccine. I believe that Operation Warp Speed, frankly, delivered to America in under a year the equivalent of putting a man on Mars, frankly. And this vaccine is probably going to be one of the most powerful and effective vaccines we've ever made. But just like any other medical therapy and treatment, it's not a one-size-fit-all. And if we attempt to make one-size-fit-all, we will almost certainly cause harm. And so the alarm bells I've been raising, frankly, have been raising since this past summer, and most recently as the Pfizer vaccine achieved its EUA. I was in direct communication with Dr. Woodcock and with Dr. Marks, Dr. Bill Gruber at Pfizer, with the concern being that the concern, as you mentioned, is what we're doing here is an absolutely unprecedented vaccine campaign in the history of Western civilization. And that is that in the middle of an outbreak, literally, where millions of people, millions of Americans, millions of people in the world are already infected recently or currently, we're deploying a vaccine. And this, you know, this is frankly just one of the most dramatic differences between this vaccine campaign and any other. And I think that you know, you don't have to really go to medical school, Tucker, to understand that it is not a standard approach to vaccinate people who are already infected. Now, you know, the CDC does say if you have a known infection, you know, you should wait for 90 days. I don't think that's a long enough period of time to wait. Frankly, these folks are all mostly naturally immunized anyway. But frankly, we have millions of people who are asymptomatically infected. We have people who have mild symptoms. We have people in nursing homes whose intellectual capacities have eroded to a point where they can't even explain their symptoms. So they have COVID and they get a shot. And, you know, a few days later, they develop a hyperinflammatory reaction and we're calling this COVID. So I think it's a dramatic error on the part of our public health officials to try to put this vaccine into a one-size-fits-all paradigm. And, you know, I have to tell you, I'm personally very familiar with what happens and how harm is caused when the medical establishment and experts try to put a medical therapy or a medical treatment into a one-size-fits-all type pattern, which is exactly what we're doing with this vaccine. So
I'll bring up, too, this is modus operandi of the medical system here. This is why we have these tens of millions of people on antidepressants. Somebody just comes in and just says, I don't have energy, I'm kind of sad. So they don't do it in depth. Study of what's going on in their lives or anything. It's just write a pill. Oh, yep, send them home with a pill. You got high blood pressure? Let's not look for the cause. Write a pill. This is the standard of care in Western medicine, which is cut, burn, and poison. It is just get a pill for everything and not look, not trace everything back. That is also a one-size-fits-all. And what's happened with a lot of people is they end up stacking medication on top of medication because they just come in and nobody looks at the totality of their situation to get to the root cause. They just say, oh, you've got this symptom, pill. You got another symptom, another pill. And not ever putting all these pieces together. And this is why I do the show. You're the only person who can really control your health. You've got to take control of your health yourself, or you will just be in this one-size-fits-all system, which is you show up with a symptom, they'll give you the pill for that symptom. Whatever the biggest pill is, whichever pharmaceutical sales rep came in most recently and brought the most tasty lunch for the office, they're going to prescribe that pill because you presented with that symptom. It's all this one-size-fits-all stuff. I think it's incredibly damaging.
We're going to take this problem that we have with the COVID-19 pandemic, which is that 0.5% of the population is susceptible to dying, and we're going to compound it by causing totally avoidable harm by vaccinating people who are already infected, recently infected. And I can tell you, on social media platforms I've been on, Tucker, it's almost, you know, the signal is almost deafening. You know, the people who are having complications and adverse events are people who have been recently or currently or previously infected. I don't think we can ignore this. I mean, there's some very, very strong anecdotal cases that are coming through, and I'm happy to talk to you about these. But I believe that, you know, we can't trade efficacy. We can't trade safety for efficacy. So in other words, yes, this vaccine is going to be one of the most effective vaccines we've ever made. But if you take that efficacy and say, you know what, we're going to sacrifice the lives of X number of Americans who are unsuspecting and trusting, I think you're doing a real disservice. I mean, I think it's a problem. Yeah.
So. Well, it's definitely going to be a problem, not just for the people who are harmed, but also for the country that might lose faith in vaccines themselves. And I think you'd agree that would be a tragedy.
You know, Tucker, I've been accused of trying to stoke vaccine hesitancy with this orientation I'm taking, right? This is absolutely incorrect. I mean, you know, I think we have to have faith and trust that Americans are not stupid, right? If you level with people, if you decently explain to people what this vaccine is, how it works, right? And then you give them information about how to keep themselves safe. This is the solution. Right. This is not vaccine hesitancy. This is educating people to understand that they can do something to keep themselves safe. You know,
that's exactly right. And I think you're an authoritative voice on this. I think everything you said is reasonable and thoughtful and consistent with the science. And I appreciate your coming on tonight because I'm sure you'll be attacked for it. But I think it's important. Thank you, doctor.
Of course they will. Of course, they'll attack him. They'll call him an anti-vaxxer, anti-science. And the striking thing about this is what the guy is talking about. He said, if you've already had COVID recently or even a long time, they don't know how long your immunity lasts, even since you've had COVID. I played the Rand Paul clip. I might play it when I come back, where Rand Paul cited the studies where they said with some of these types of viruses, once you've been exposed to the disease and your body has mounted an immune response to it, you could be immune to it for 60 years, 90 years, Spanish flu. 90 years later, people were still immune to the Spanish flu. And so you may not even need this shot in the first place. And what's striking to me is that all this requires is if they just preceded vaccination with an antibody test. I believe that's the test that would be called for. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. But it seems to me that they could just go in and test everybody before a vaccination to see if you're naturally immune for this. Because a lot of us, you know, with all the reports of the tens of millions of people who have contracted COVID, how many people have contracted COVID don't even know it? Because this is the first time we've seen a disease that everybody freaks out about that sometimes you have to get tested to even know you have it. I would imagine I've been exposed to it. I haven't had an antibody test, but I was with somebody that was very sick in February of last year. And so I would imagine I've been exposed to it. So all they have to do is just run antibody tests, see if you are already naturally immune to this thing. But boy, what would that do to the sales of the vaccine? Because if they're already reporting that, what, 35 million Americans have tested positive? And how many other people are walking around with no symptoms but also have been exposed? Their body has already built up an immunity to this thing, learned how to react to it. Your God-given immune system, which we pretend doesn't exist anymore. That's just a conspiracy theory now that you have an immune system. How much would that put a dent into vaccine sales? Oh, that wouldn't be good if we found out we had natural immunity, would it? And yet Thomas Dobbs, Anthony Fauci, Tate Reeves, celebrities, most people in the media, they just tell you rush out there and get it as soon as you can. They don't tell you, hey, go get an antibody test, and if you don't have the antibody things, this might be really valuable to you. At least that would make a little bit of sense. But they cannot do that because this is about sales. It's not about health. It's about sales. And we'll see if there's consequences to it. As this doctor said, is it the people that have already been exposed to COVID, that have fought it off themselves, who have the antibodies who have recently had COVID, that are having the adverse events from this vaccine? It's a very easy problem to solve with just a test. I think the movement this doctor is leading is screen before vaccine. Isn't it strange that they won't do that? Because it makes perfect common sense, even to a layperson like me. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home.
Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
We're back. Final segment here on Hump Day Health. A lot of people have got elderly parents, grandparents, and there's always the concern about a fall, particularly if they live alone. I've lived with that for a while myself with my father. There are studies out about some of the drugs that seniors are on. I wanted to give you some of these statistics, something you should think about, discuss with your doctor. The number of older people, researchers in the University of Buffalo report that nearly every older American over 65 years old, 94%, was prescribed at least one drug that raised their risk of falling in 2017. That's a big increase in comparison to 1999, when 57% of older adults received these types of medications. So we have given our seniors... We've gone from 57% of them were getting drugs that raise the risk of falls up to 94%. Troublingly, death rates due to falls more than doubled between 1999 and 2017. See, we think they're just frail. They lose their balance. But people don't understand that some of these medications, here are some of them that cause some of those things, because I guess that's important. Researchers added that a number of drugs a person takes increases the likelihood of a fall. Opioids, benzos, which is like Xanax and Valium, antidepressants, sedative hypnotics, anticonvulsants, antipsychotics, and antihypertensives. These are high blood pressure medications, are a few examples of medications which raise the risk of falling. Between 1999 and 2017, older Americans filled out over 7.8 billion fall risk-inducing drug prescriptions. Most of those were blood pressure medications, anti-hypertensives. But more and more antidepressants are being prescribed each year as well. In 2017, doctors prescribed 52 million antidepressants. In 1999, that number was just 12 million. And these are putting seniors at rise. The rates from deaths from falls has doubled. So if you've got a frail older person, I'm not telling you to take off these medications. It's certainly a conversation to have with your doctor, but I mean, you know, to treat depression with a life-ending fall seems a bit extreme to me. So pay attention to the medications that seniors are taking when it comes to falls. And I would imagine, too, obviously those medications put all of us at risk of something. It's doing something to our balance, isn't it? To finish up today, there's one resource I really have talked about a lot over the years, but they've come out with a new list. Environmental Working Group puts out each year a list of the Dirty Dozens. They test produce. They look for levels of pesticides, herbicides, chemicals, things like that. And so what they do is they put out a clean and dirty list for foods, meaning if it's on the dirty list, you need to buy these things organic. If it's on the clean list, it's not a big of a deal, because either the way the crops are grown and harvested do not involve a lot of chemicals or any chemicals, or they have a thick rind or peel on them that you discard and it doesn't get to the actual fruit. So here I'm going to give you this one real quick. I was going to refer you to, and they go by EWG. And so you can do a search online, EWG Dirty Dozen, and you should keep this list and pay attention to it. It just makes your organic food bucks go farther. Organic is a little bit more expensive. I submit to you that it saves you a lot of money. And number one, you're going to feel better, you're going to look better, and you're going to have less money that you spend on medications and doctor's visits if you eat healthy. But it is a little bit more expensive to buy some organic things. So you might as well target your organic dollars to the foods you definitely need to buy organic to keep away from the ones that are most heavily covered in these chemicals. Number one is strawberries, which is really a shame because I love strawberries too, but I will not buy non-organic strawberries. And you cannot wash this stuff off. This is part of their testing process, is trying to do real-world looks at these things. So they buy non-organic, they wash them as somebody would wash them at home, and then they test them for the residues of these pesticides and herbicides. And so a lot of these things you just pop in your mouth when you buy them non-organically. You're getting all kinds of chemicals along with them, too. I'm telling you, I think it's part of why we're such a sick society. Number one, strawberries. Two is spinach. Kale, collard green, and mustard greens are number three. I'm just going to go down the list here. Nectarines, apples, grapes, cherries, peaches, pears, bell and hot peppers, celery, and tomatoes. That's the Dirty Dozen list. You do not want to get these except organic. That's where you should target your organic dollars to those things. Again, this is EWG's Dirty Dozen. You can go look it up online. They had an app, but I saw a bunch of the reviews of the app was just terrible this year, the new release of it. So you can just find this online somewhere, and it will also give you what some of the clean foods were. See, the 2020 clean foods list was avocados, sweet corn, if it's not GMO, pineapples, you can understand that one. We cut off all big chunk of the skin of that, onions, papayas, frozen sweet peas, eggplant, asparagus. You're not going to remember these. I can go through and read you the list. But the bottom line is go check out EWG's Dirty Dozen and target your organic dollars towards those foods where it's most important. I know when I get strawberries, they're a dollar for a packet of them, generally more expensive to get the organic than non-organic. It's a dollar. It's a dollar. And the strawberries are going to last me for a few days. Even with a family, spend an extra dollar if your children like strawberries and don't load their systems up with a bunch of chemicals. I think it has a lot to do with gut bacteria, too. We're killing a lot of the good gut bacteria with all of these pesticides and herbicides that are interacting with our gut microbiome. But bottom line, get the list, target your stuff. If you've got kids in particular, kids eat a lot of fruits. I loved fruit when I was a kid. It's so good for you in so many ways. If you can take the chemicals out of it, it's even better for you. That's all the time I got today. Have a fantastic day. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.